Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Hey, we're going to go in depth today, you guys. Thanks for being here. Unusual discovery of a black-legged tick in Montana. This one's kind of known to, well, it is known to carry Lyme disease. The thing that's kind of interesting about it is it's out of its range in a long ways out of its range. So we're going to talk about the discovery of this tick. Marnie Ralston is going to be with us here from Montana State University, the Scudder Lab. This discovery? What should we know about it? Marnie Ralston, it's arthropod diagnostician with Montana State University at Scudder Lab there, and joins us on Voices. Good morning, Marnie. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Sorry for all the goofing off that Cody's doing. No, I'm not really. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but this is an interesting discovery. So let's dig into it here. The things that I'm learning about it, this tick was found in Montana maybe quite some time ago as well, but it took a while to really get down to identifying this as well. Why don't you just launch into stuff we ought to know about this? Thank you.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, this tick was actually found by a hunter who was hunting in eastern Montana. They found it on their hunting dog, and this was back in October of 2023. And this hunter was in Dawson County, kind of near the little town of Ritchie. And she seems like a pretty savvy tick specialist person because she was able to determine that it looked different than other ticks that she had found on herself and her dogs in the past. And so she took it off of her dog, and then she sent it into the Scudder Diagnostic Lab, where I looked at it, and my first thought was, oh, my gosh, this is kind of exciting but kind of scary, too, because it's a tick that has been on our radar for quite some time, because we knew it had been kind of moving towards Montana, but we didn't know if it would actually make it into the state. And so this tick is it's called Ixodes scapularis, and it's the black-legged tick. It's the primary vector or transmitter, per se, of Lyme disease. And most people associate Lyme disease with the eastern states, and it's definitely made its way into the Midwest, particularly Minnesota, Iowa. But it hasn't made it as far west as Montana. In fact, I think the latest documented case of it was probably like in north central North Dakota, like along in the Turtle Mountain area. And so this kind of was a huge geographic leap, if you will, of this tick species. We thought we had a few more years before it would be seen in the state. And so once diagnosed it as Ixodes scapularis, the black-legged tick, I sent it to a colleague that I have been working with. He's been like a tick specialist that has helped us verify these tick species that we get at Scudder Lab. And he verified that it was the black-legged tick. And he is retired now, but he's worked with National Institutes of Health as a research scientist for many years. And so then he shared it with the National Institutes of Health. They're located in Hamilton. It's the Rocky Mountain Lab there in Hamilton. And they worked to do some DNA testing. And actually, this tick ended up flying all the way to Bethesda, Maryland for kind of extensive tick testing. They wanted to verify the genetic ID for this tick, and they also wanted to determine whether it actually had the Lyme disease bacteria in it. And so it's a well-traveled tick. It's a very important tick, and it's one that we kind of wanted to share this information with Montanans so that they know to kind of be on the lookout for it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's this is a really, really tiny tick. As I'm reading here, and again, you got good information, with these alerts that you're sending out. Integrated pest management is where this one came from, but it's the Scudder Lab. It really, really small, size of a sesame seed for the babies, the nymphs, or a poppy seed, and then the adults are only the size of a sesame seed. Those are hard to spot.
Yeah. We're used to larger ticks. We're used to ticks that are kind of generally called wood ticks, and they are like a dermacentor species of tick, and they're much larger. And so here in Montana, many of the ticks that we see on ourselves and on our dogs when we're outside recreating or working tend to be these larger ticks. But Ixodes ticks, which is Ixodes scapularis is a species within Ixodes. Ticks within that genus actually are quite a bit smaller on average. And so people are going to have to do a bit of a paradigm shift. You know, they need to be able to think much smaller when they're examining their dogs or their loved ones or themselves for these ticks, because you're right, they're much smaller. The tick life stages that tend to occur on dogs and humans are the nymphal stages and the adult stages, which are the two largest stages. But again, they're much smaller than what we would see. They're much smaller than the tick species that we're used to in the state.
So we're going to be on the lookout for these. Have we had any more shown up?
Well, right now, the NIH and the CDC is collaborating with the Montana Department of Health and Human Services, and they're working on hopefully having some sort of citizen science surveillance outreach program this summer. And I don't know the logistics to it yet. I know the Montana Department of Health and Human Services is going to put out a public release soon asking people if they do get a tick on them or their dog or any other animal that they see, if they send it in. I don't have that information for you yet, but I know they're working hard to get that set up. And so, you know, we've seen one tick. If we have one tick here, there's a good chance that we have others. So, especially if it's moving in from the east, you know, that's probably where we're most likely to see it at this point.
And describe this tick then, okay? So people who are just trying to picture it in their mind right now, it's very much smaller, probably less than half the size of a tick that we normally encounter in our areas. And then so I see it here, really the top of it is pretty much predominantly black. They call it a black-legged tick, but what are those identifying factors? Where do people send a tick? I mean, not the voices of Montana, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so I'll start with your first question. These ticks, like I said, they're much smaller, and they tend to be a little bit redder. Their abdomen or the top of their body tends to be a lot redder than kind of the orange coloration that we see with our wood ticks that are more common in Montana. Again, yeah, they do tend to have black legs or darker legs than our Montana ticks. And also another kind of defining characteristic for this group of ticks is that compared to the ticks we're used to seeing in the state, their mouth parts kind of project out from their head a little bit more. So they just have a very different feel. So just smaller black legs on average, although the legs can be a lighter color. And then the mouth parts are just a lot longer at the front of their head.
Let's talk about Lyme disease a little bit. And, you know, I'm learning more. And thanks for that release again. Learning more about what people need to know regarding Lyme disease. And I'll just let you talk about it. I mean, it's interesting to me that, you know, it's a treatable kind of disease, so to speak. And ticks can, carry it, but they don't all necessarily carry it, right?
Right. Regarding Lyme disease, there are only two species in the U.S. that carry Lyme disease. And in the past, Montana has been kind of buffered from these two species. They haven't occurred in the state that we know of. Ixodes scapularis is an eastern species that's kind of been moving north and west, like towards Montana. And then Ixodes pacificus is another black-legged tick that actually occurs along the western coast of the U.S. And they're kind of been moving a little bit towards Montana, but we've been safe from these species until now. Some of the early symptoms, so this is a disease that only these two tick species are capable of carrying Lyme disease. Well, I think there might be other species that they determined that carry it, but These are the two primary vectors. These are the really important vectors of this disease. And so having them in the state is a big deal. And so, you know, these ticks also carry many other diseases, as do most ticks. I mean, the wood ticks that we have in the state also carry a lot of diseases, including diseases like, you know, Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Colorado tick fever. There's plenty of diseases that ticks can carry. And so it's always important to watch and make sure that you, you know, remove any ticks that are on your body. And if you do see a tick on your body, you want to remove it as soon as possible. For Lyme disease specifically, the tick needs to be attached to you and feeding for at least 24 hours before it can transmit the disease to you. And so if the most important thing you can do really is to remove it as soon as to when you get home from being outside recreating or working, it's important to take all your clothes off. Just look very carefully at your body, do a body check, and remove any ticks you see. That's going to be the most important thing you can do to prevent and getting this disease.
Yeah, that's very significant. And thanks for mentioning that. They're on, they have to be attached for more than 24 hours before they can transmit that Lyme disease. Is that the same for Rocky Mountain spotted fever or the Colorado tick fever that is not uncommon around here?
You know, I am not 100% sure. I think it's a shorter period of time for those two, but I'm not sure about that.
That's the significance, though, of checking and also trying to, you know, wear where you're at. Long sleeve shirts and pants, overhanging vegetation, stay away from that. And these are good pieces of advice as well from, again, at Scudder Lab. Perform regular tick checks. I mean, that's just that's plain good common sense if you're going to be out there. What does this affect animals? Does it affect livestock? What are some of the potential impacts here?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Humans are much more able to, for some reason, humans get sick a lot easier from an infected tick than other animals do, but you know, dogs can get it, cats, horses. I'm not sure about cattle, but the prevalence rate for those animals is much lower. They're not nearly as apt to get Lyme disease as people are.
And I've got some indications here of if you've been bitten by a tick. But do you want to give those?
Sure.
Yeah, do.
Yeah. So some of the early symptoms of an infection with Lyme disease, and be aware that this. You know, these are pretty general things that can overlap with other tick-borne or other you know, infections people might have. But some of the early symptoms of infection are, you know, fever, headache, you're tired, you're fatigued. And sometimes you get kind of a characteristic circular rash at the bite site. Those are some of the early things to be kind of aware of. If left untreated, the infection can kind of progress and move and affect your joints or your heart or your nervous system. So it really is important if you don't feel well to go, you know, contact your healthcare provider and let them know that you have recently removed a tick from your body. And I want to point out, too, that we don't recommend getting ticks tested. At the Scudder Lab, we do not test ticks for diseases. And we actually don't recommend sending them in to different businesses that can test ticks for diseases. Mm-hmm. And that's because the Centers for Disease Control has recommended this because there's a lot of false negatives, false positives. They're just not accurate results. But you can submit your ticks to the Scudder Lab if you would like. And hopefully we'll have more information here soon from the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services about their whatever they're going to start up regarding, you know, the surveillance where people can send their ticks to them also.
Yeah. So can people contact you then? I mean, is that at this point right now, and I know the DPHHS may have, a plan for contact in that regard. But they can actually just send them to the – and how do they take ticks off if they've got a tick attached to themselves?
Okay, that's a great question. Yeah, if you see a tick, doesn't matter what kind it is, you want to, you know, get some kind of thin-tipped tweezers or maybe the rounded tweezers, and you want to try to, pull the tick out as close to the skin as you can. That way you're trying to remove all of the mouth parts that you can. So you just, you grab it by your tweezers and you do a slow pull up. Because you don't want to pull at an angle, you don't want to jerk. You want to slowly remove the tick and all of its mouth parts. Because if the mouth parts stay within your skin, sometimes that can cause irritation or even like another type of infection. So remove it as soon as you can, and then wash it off. Disinfect it with soap and water or with alcohol to try to disinfect the site.
What are the next steps for anthropod diagnosticians in this discovery? Arthropod diagnosticians. My fault.
What are the next steps for us?
We're gonna
now that this is on our radar, I mean, it has been for a few years because we know it's been moving into our state. We're just gonna keep our eyes out, and if anybody has any questions, about what they can do if they do have a tick, they can certainly reach out to us with those questions. If they want to submit ticks, they can do that. We don't have any research going on. The Scudder Diagnostic Lab is that it's purely a diagnostic lab, and actually we're more focused typically on plants, plant diseases, insect pests of plants, weed identification, that sort of thing. But we do take ticks if people send them in. So,
hey, Marnie, good stuff. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And of course, John Hawley with MSU Extension gave us a call about this as well. It is important stuff, and so we're going to be tracking it. And I don't want any of this going on around me. You know what I mean? Lived here a long time, as a matter of fact, and know how to watch for ticks. So it's hopefully people don't overlook those things because this
right.
is something new. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me and helping us increase the awareness of this important tick.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay, take care.
Good stuff, Marnie. Marnie Ralston again, arthropod diagnostician from Scudder Lab. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.